You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. And those of you who are listening or watching for the very first time, welcome aboard. I'm delighted that you're here, and I think you will be too. And like I said, wherever you are and whoever you are, thanks for being here. We have, probably a sizzling hot show tonight, so you want to be sure you stay tuned for all of it. Couple of quick announcements real quick. You may notice at the moment, anyway, that there is a much improved video feed than what we have had. And I'm hoping that it holds throughout the show. If it doesn't, well, then we'll switch back to the other software. But we've really been working on this today, and I think, I'm pretty sure that it's going to hold. Speaking of video, I think it's important to also note that in our members area, we have section called the Video Galaxy. And this is where we upload videos for our members to watch and enjoy. And I've had a lot of requests saying, hey, you know, I'd like to be able to upload a video. And I haven't been able to upload one. Don't know how to do it. So we've been working on that software. It has all been redone, reworked, and I think we have it fixed where you can upload your videos. I hope so. I think we do. And we're now in the process of re-uploading the videos that we had in there, or re-linking the videos we had in there. So within a couple of days, we'll have that up, running, and going, and you'll be able to upload your videos that you've taken of ghosts or paranormal investigations or strange things happening, UFOs, whatever. You'll be able to upload them right there in the members area, and that's a good thing. So if you're not a member, be sure that you take care of that. I mean, it's only 23 cents a day, right? 23 cents a day, that's all. And you get chat, forums, podcast. Oh, yeah. I've gotten a couple of emails here in the last couple of days, folks wanting to know, where are the updated podcasts? Well, as you've just heard, we've been involved in some rather extensive video software upgrades and website software upgrades. There has been no time. But hopefully, after the show tonight, we will have the opportunity and the time to do that. Now, on the show tonight, you know, I've been telling you about some of these strange things happening around the Earth with the magnetic pole and the magnetosphere and the ionosphere and so forth. Well, I was talking about this with Walter Bosley, and I said, you know, all of this looks like little pieces of the jigsaw puzzle. They're not disconnected. Something's going on. And we talked about that on the telephone, he and I, and he agrees it looks like there's a pattern. And he's with me this evening. We're going to be talking about the possibilities of what it could all mean. So you want to be sure and stay here. Is a pole shift underway? We'll see. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Now, I've got to tell you, Walter, this is the Christmas season, and families and friends get together, and so Walter is actually taking some time away from a family get-together they're having to be with us this evening. He may not be able to stay with us for the full 2 hours, but he felt like this was news important enough that he needed to take some time away and come here and talk to us. So, Walter, welcome to the show, and thanks much for making the sacrifice.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate you thinking of me when stuff like this comes up, because it is definitely significant.
Well, I tell you what we're going to do, Walter. First thing I'm going to do here is I'm going to put up on the screen, for those who are on our TV channel, I'm going to put up something from a previous show. Now, what we're looking at is a list of 9 Arctic Ocean events that took place in 18 hours on November 17 and 18. And actually, there were 10. I missed one. But I've got a list of them. It shows the date, the time it happened, the magnitude, the depth, and the location. The location is given in longitude and latitude and is within feet. All of these are within feet of each other. They're not separated by miles and miles. And it appears to be either right on our magnetic North Pole, are somewhere very, very near the magnetic North Pole. Now, the reason I can't tell you precisely is because, ladies and gentlemen, you will discover if you go do a search for this, you cannot find on the internet the precise location of the magnetic North Pole. I have found 3 different long lats, 3 different locations given. The most recent one was from 2005. What we do know is that in 2005, our magnetic North Pole was wandering around, as it always does, at a rate of 10 kilometers per year. It is now moving at a rate of 41 kilometers per year. Now, these 9 events, these are seismic events, some people would call them earthquakes, are these are all within an 18-hour period. And I had Ted Tweetmeyer on here, Walter, talking about these, and he noticed something I had not noticed, and that is that there is a pattern here. First of all of them are at 10 kilometers deep. The first one is 5.7 on the Richter scale. The next one is 4.7. The next one, 5.1. The next one, 4.7. The next one, 5.4. The next one, 5.1. The next one, 5.3. Then 4.8. Then 4.7. So you have a stronger, weaker, pattern. Now, all of these are within an 18-hour period, either on or very near the magnetic North Pole. Add to that the fact that I'm not making a case. I'm just adding sticks on the fire here so we can see what all is going on. All right, since that time, we have gotten a report that the gravity Probe B, the satellite that was in a polar orbit. This satellite has been up there for 17 months, and what it's been doing is it has been making measurements to try and determine if Einstein's theory of the Earth warping space and time is accurate. Instead, it started sending back data that suggested that, in fact, our sun is part of a binary star system and is curving through space at a speed that is exceptionally faster than what they had dreamed possible. Add to that that just 2 days ago, we got a report that NASA, through the Themis satellite, has discovered that there is a gigantic tear, a big hole in our magnetosphere. And according to the Themis scientist by the name of Merritt, and I guess it's pronounced Arset, of the University of California, it was growing rather fast. And that's a quote. Add to that, yesterday, the news that the ionosphere is not where it should be. The ionosphere at nighttime should be at 400 miles out. It's at 260. In the daytime, it should be at 600 plus, and it's barely at 500. So when we put all that together, the magnetic pole is moving at an accelerated pace. There were 10 seismic events either directly on or very, very near the magnetic pole on November 17th and 18th. The magnetosphere has a huge rip in it, and the ionosphere is way too close to the Earth. It's almost 140 miles too close to the Earth. It should be 400 miles, and it's at 260 miles at nighttime. What does all of that, if anything, suggest to you, Walter?
Well, to me, it goes back to my personal favorite theory of polar shift. To me, it's telling me that the Earth is revving up, as it were, or going into its shifting mode. That this is going to affect the atmosphere because it's going to affect, the electromagnetics of the Earth itself, the very electromagnetic system of the Earth itself. And this acceleration of activity as we approach that interesting year of 2012, when some say this is supposed to happen, it's looking like what it is.
All right, now, you say that to you it suggests that we are in the beginning stages. Am I reading that right?
Yes.
So you think we're already into the beginning stages of a pole shift?
Yes.
What about this data stands out and suggests that to you?
Well, number one, the frequency that you were mentioning before. Number one, the thing that stands out the most is the movement of the magnetic pole. How it went from a 10-kilometer variance to 40 something kilometers.
Yeah, it's moving now at 41 kilometers per year.
Yeah, it's looking for its next spot, the Earth is getting ready to reset itself. That's what pole shift is. That's my understanding of it. The Earth is going to reset herself, and this is just the beginning of that move, that shift. And
what is that going to mean for us? I mean, is that going to be like traumatic for us?
Absolutely. My understanding from what I've been told and from what I've studied, it's going to be cataclysmic for a lot of people, a lot of areas. You know, that it's supposed to shift somewhere around 17 degrees, somewhere a little bit under 20 degrees, that the Earth is physically, the poles are going to shift. Now, that means the Earth itself is going to move, reshift its position. Where the new pole is going to set is what kind of flipped up or what have you to what we would call an upright position. Okay, and what the magnetic pole is doing is trying to find, it's approaching, it's in the mode where it's looking for, it's being brought to the spot that it's going to set in for the next however many tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of years or whatever. You're talking catastrophic weather changes, you're talking massive land shift, massive water shift. The oceans are going to be greatly displaced. There's going to be, you know, large areas of the continents that will just be inundated, just like you've seen in the movies in the last several years. That's the kind of thing. I mean, you could go into a whole other show on, you know, what were they told, and is that why those movies depicted that? But think of the end of the alternative ending to The Abyss. Think of the film Deep Impact, and anything that shows, you know, the tremendous, you know, cataclysmic tsunami, that the day after, that kind of thing. And I do want to say that this is not going to be caused by global warming. Global warming, what we're calling global warming, is just one of the symptomatic results of the pole shift getting ready to happen. It doesn't have a damn thing to do with whether we drive SUVs and what kind of light bulbs we use. That's all a bunch of political hooey to force a new series of industries on us. What's really going on is this pole shift.
Okay, so now you're saying that the warming, if there's global warming, that's a symptom of the pole shift being underway.
Yes, because as the pole is beginning to change its position erratically as it is, naturally, you know, it's kind of all systems go haywire a little bit, and, you know, your electromagnetics of the Earth itself, what we like to talk about here is the ley lines, for example, are going to be seriously affected, and this, of course, is going to affect weather. It's going to affect the atmosphere. It's going to give us, warming trends. You know, warming and cooling trends have always been with us. It's part of the process we're talking about, as a matter of fact. And it's something that happens. We're in a warming phase now. We're in a cooling phase. You know, we'll be in a cooling phase under normal conditions. Now, you know, we're about ready to approach another pole shift, so things are going to be kind of hectic for that period, and then they will level out after the pole shift. I do believe that, you know, they'd rather have us, you know, the ubiquitous they, with the capital T, would rather have us, embrace global warming and accept that line of crap than realize what's really going to happen. Because here's the deal, folks. Many millions of people are going to die. And there's nothing that can be done to prevent that.
How certain are you that you're accurate about that?
Well, you know, personally, because of how I learned what I learned about this, and the research that I've done, and the research that I've seen others do, the scientific research and the data coming up, when you take all that, it's kind of like a preponderance, as we say, of evidence. And I'm somebody who, and it was tough for me to do it, but I've learned to trust my intuition and my gut instinct. Being a former criminal investigator, you know, you can understand how, you know, you learn how to hone your trust in that. Short of being able to open up a file for you there in your studio and us, you know, just read out convincing evidence that will convince every one of your listeners. Short of that, I hate to say it, but right now at this point in time, I'm in the 90-something percentile of being certain.
That's what I wanted to know. I just based on your background, based on your observations, and based on what you've been exposed to and what you know,
yeah.
How sure are you? And you say about 90%. Now, is that 90% sure that we are into the beginning stages of the pole shift?
Based on this data now, it sure as hell, yeah, I'll go out on that limb.
And also, you're saying you're 90% sure that it's going to be cataclysmic?
Yes. See, to me, that's pretty logical. I mean, you're talking about a physical shift of the planet. This is not something that a bunch of people can get together on a certain date and hold hands and meditate. And I've heard people say that what they're doing is they're going to get together and we're all going to meditate, and the Space Brothers are going to come, and they're going to do this energetic shift that's going to phase us into another dimension so that we avoid the cataclysm. I don't believe that for a minute. We're going to see this, and we're going to endure this, and yeah.
All right. I'm glad to hear you say we're going to endure this, because that language means that you think that we will come out on the other side of this thing as survivors somehow.
Oh, absolutely. That's my understanding of it too. And that's my personal belief. You know, I kind of like to go against. I'm not a human apologist. You know, by God, we are amazing beings. We are amazing creatures. And we were, I almost said the C word, we exist to exist. And we are who we are and what we are for whatever the reason is. And, we're going to come out on top in this thing. There's going to be a bunch of us that will survive, and we'll press on, as we should.
Why do you think that there will be millions that die?
Well, because you're going to have people that, A, aren't going to believe it right up to the point that it happens, okay? You're going to have areas that, even if they're trying to get out, they're not going to be able to get out. You're going to have, even if you go somewhere, there's going to be, a cataclysm there, and there's going to be destruction. And it's just, to me, it's just logical that, not everybody's going to, we're not going to be able to run to one little place and huddle together and all of us, it's just logic dictates that there's going to be,
I guess, one of the problems is where would you run? I mean, if you could and if you did, where would you run? You don't know where it's going to be safe to go.
Well, let me give you some advice, though. Think about this. A lot of people are into the mysterious things that have been built in and around and under, mostly the Denver area. Okay, and when you think about, you got the Queen of England. That family, they own apparently a bunch of real estate, in Colorado. And basically, just like they say in anything else, follow the money. Look where people who, would have a stake in knowing more than we do, the average folks. Look where they own property. Look where, they've got something. Tucked away, and that might be an indicator, and then also set that aside, pull out a map, okay, about it. If the oceans are displaced, take the continental United States, okay, my understanding is what'll happen.
Well, it would appear someone doesn't want us to have that conversation. I didn't hang up, and he didn't hang up. Let me tell you what's happened. What's happened is somehow the phone system is doing an automatic reboot. What can I say, folks? What can I? I'll try to get Walter back on the line as soon as this does its reboot here. We'll see if we can get him back on the line. But what can I say? I mean, you see it, you hear it, you hear what he's saying, and all of a sudden we can't talk. Don't you find that just a little bit, aside from being irritating and aside from being childish, aside from having their head up their rear end and have not smelled fresh air in years, these jokers decide that freedom of speech can just be written out of the Constitution. Well, it may be written out of the Constitution for them, but not for me. And during this break, we're going to do what we can to continue. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. I am back, and we've got Walter back on the line with us, and the jokers who decided they were going to interfere with this show and with the telephone system, although I can't put a face on you, and you in darkness sit and hide and chuckle because you think, aha, we got him. I want you to understand that all over this world, people are listening to this show. I want you to understand you just demonstrated to them what your regard for the Constitution of the United States is. You just demonstrated to them that you consider freedom of speech a joke. You demonstrated to them why they and the rest of us need to put you out of business. Now, I'm going to exercise more of my freedom of speech, and we shall continue. We were talking about where you said look at a map, and where might be some of the good places to go to.
Yeah, I would say, as I was saying before, you know, Denver and northern Colorado and, you know, that's probably a good central location to be the center of the bullseye, and then, you know, you just kind of radiate outward from that to the degree that you're comfortable. I would say that if you're anywhere, you know, to the people on the West Coast out here, if you're as far east as, you know, you're getting into the high, real high desert of California towards the Nevada border, you know, you're probably going to be safe. You know, and the farther east you go, the safer you'll be. You know, and then on the East Coast, a lot of it depends on how low the lands are, you know.
Yeah, but see, here's what you've got. That would be true in terms of getting away from the onslaught of the water coming in.
Yeah, that's however, water we're talking about.
However, the tremendous stresses that this may put on the land, on the earth itself, could set off that super volcano up at Yellowstone, and all of this area, Nevada, Arizona, all of this out in here is gone.
Most likely, if Yellowstone goes, and hey, there's another thing, talk about data, you know, that Yellowstone bulge, that's that right there is another sign of this. And you're absolutely right, you know, that would, if that goes, and then there's just earthquakes.
Well, you know, if we're under all of that stress and the earth is really, really, really rocking here, you've got the New Madras Fault, which is, it is the Mississippi River. Every time I say that, I get email from someone who says, what a joke, you don't know anything, you know, the Mississippi River is a river, it's not a fault. Yes, it is. It is the New Madras Fault that happens to be full of water. And if that thing shifts, as it is due to do right now, but if it shifts, you would have, just by itself, you would have ocean all the way up to, nearly to Dallas, Texas, and from there south and eastward towards what is today the Mississippi River would all be underwater.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's the land that's not going to be wiped out by the displacement of the seas is not going to come out, you know, unscathed. It's not going to be like, you know, getting out of Dodge for the weekend, you're going to ride it out and everything's going to be hunky-dory. There's going to be hell all over. But if you're looking to stay on the land, and we're land creatures, get towards the center. I'd say stay away from Yellowstone, but, you know, it's hard to tell exactly. However, again, take a look at where the people in power, people with wealth, take a look at where they have they own property, because these are the people that are going to likely be able to know some things and know where to go, be tipped off where to go.
Walter, what we're saying here tonight, and I want us to be careful, for some people, this is like really frightening.
Yes.
And I think it's important for us to say this. Whatever will be, will be. Whether we talk about it or whether we don't talk about it, what's coming is coming. Whether we're right or wrong, whether what you're saying is accurate or not accurate, and time will tell, either way, whatever's coming is coming, and there's not going to be anything any of us can do to stop that. So there's really no need to fear, because, again, it's sort of like I say about believing things. Reality is real whether you believe it or don't believe it. It's still real. And the future is. It is. Whatever is coming is coming. And there's really not any reason to panic. There's not any reason to fear. But there is a whole lot of reason to be motivated to build up our knowledge of a lot of things, including survival tactics.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, as you're going to say, along with not panicking, you know, don't give your money to some crazy cult leader who says he's going to get you to safety. You know, don't just, you know, as you say, think about how you would survive, come up with your own survival plan. And, you know, it's like this. Every day of our lives, you could drop dead from something. You could get hit by a car when you cross the street. It's that same old thing. It's really how well are you prepared to deal, you know, with it when it comes, without driving yourself nuts up to the point that whatever comes, comes. You know, just know what you'll do and live your life day to day as you normally would, but know what you would do so when that moment comes, you'll react a little bit more rationally and with greater preparedness.
Walter, let me ask you what you think about this. I contend that we really are going to need to learn how to get along at a Stone Age technology level. And the reason is not everyone is going to be thrown into total deprivation, but there are some people in any calamity that get thrown into a situation of sort of total deprivation of technology. They have no electricity, so power tools aren't going to work. And you might say, well, I've got a generator. Yeah, and when that runs out of gasoline or diesel, then what?
Yeah.
Because there's not going to be any more for a while if you're in an area that gets really destroyed. People need to invest in things like tools that they can use, manual tools like a machete and an axe, and learn how to build fire without matches, because, I mean, all of the things you think are survival things, understand if there's any of it that has to be replenished, there's the possibility it can't be. So matches, fuel, electricity, any of that stuff. You've got to think in terms of, I have to survive here even though I can't get any more matches. I can't get any more diesel for the generator. How do I survive? And manual tools are essential. And then learning survival skills are essential as well. If you're dead wrong, and by the way, I hope you are, but if you're dead wrong about this, wonderful. But if you're right, we need to know how to survive and how to live.
If I'm wrong about this, I'm telling you, I'm going to be the first one to laugh my ass off at me publicly. I will. I'll come on your show and I'll say, "Boy, what a dummy I was. Boy, was I wrong." And you know what? Cool. That's cool, because now I had all these plans. Life, I can continue on with them. Here we go. So you know, and I would prefer that. But there's a lot of evidence in history that said, you know, what you're just talking about, this has happened before, and we've done it before. You know, the what we're told is the Stone Age in our past, in the caveman days, what that was the era in which we emerged after the last time this happened. That's what that is. We've gone through this before. We will go through this again. It's the way of things. It is cyclical, I believe.
All right, now, speaking about it being cyclical, I mentioned earlier this report about the Gravity Probe B having its government funding canceled because it's sending back data saying we're in a binary star system. What importance would that be to this whole picture?
I'm not sure I understand what you mean.
Well, is there anything about being in this binary star system that is causing any of the effects that we're seeing, like the rip in our magnetosphere, the ionosphere being 140 miles closer to Earth than it should be, and so forth?
Well, if you're asking if being in a binary system is part of the process that causes this, I would say that does have some logic about it. It would make some sense because we are so, you know, the sun is such a part of how everything worked here that, you know, I certainly believe it's a whole part of the process. As far as, you know, you mean as far as, you know, any being able to prevent certain things?
I don't think that there's any prevention of anything that's happening on a cosmic level. If it's happening at a cosmic level, we have not built the rocket engine big enough to handle it.
right.
And we will not. But if we're in a binary star system, and if that binary star is perhaps a brown dwarf and is perhaps the one that is mentioned by the Sumerians called Nibiru, and if, by the way, we're accelerating as we curve through space, we're not going at a steady pace, we're accelerating as the sun moves through space on this curved path, on its orbit, it's accelerating. So if we're getting closer to this binary, to this twin, or not a twin, but at least a sister, and if that is Nibiru, it is referred to in other ancient manuscripts as the Destroyer. And people have seen it come through before. They call it the Destroyer. And perhaps it is the passing of the two stars as they get close to each other in their orbit around each other. Perhaps it is that causes all of this.
But the problem with that would be, isn't Nibiru, in that theory, a habited planet?
No. Actually, there are several ancient scripts that talk about the inhabited planet, that there are five planets around Nibiru, and that one of them is inhabited.
Yes, is that Marduk?
I don't know. But Nibiru itself, being the brown dwarf with planets in orbit around it. Now, I don't know that that is the correct theory, but that is one theory, and it's I've run into that out there on the Internet. And then, you know, if the inhabited planet is close enough to the brown dwarf, it would be warm enough to live. We have to take a break. We'll be back, folks, right after the... Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Walter Bosley. He's going to be with us now about 10 more minutes, and then he's got to run. We'll open up the phone lines for you in the second hour for your thoughts, your comments about all of this. Hopefully, Walter, we can get through this without any technological help from the outside.
Okay.
You know, you're not the only person to say that we've had lots of guests on that have said that they think that indeed we'll go through some great cataclysms here. And that there will be, you know, there'll be a pole shift, and that it's going to cause some great cataclysms. Again, we don't want to panic anybody. Panic is nonsense. I mean, so you panic, and then what? I mean, how does you panicking, folks, how does your panic change the future? It doesn't. So there's no reason to panic. But we do need to know about some things. Walter, we had talked before about being in this binary star system, our sun has a sister star. How come we haven't heard about this?
Very good question. It's the question that crossed my mind when I first was told by someone that we're in a binary system several years ago. And the question crossed my mind, I asked, well, where the hell is it? And what I was told, to be honest, what I was told is one of those pieces of, is one of those reasons why I happen to enjoy the Hollow Earth theory. Because I was told that the other sun is on the inside of the planet. Now, people will say, what? What the hell are you talking about? How can that be? Well, I'm no astrophysicist, so, you know, I can't explain it to you in technical terms. I can only tell you what I was told, and the implications, we'll just have to watch it unfold as maybe we learn this ourselves and what that means. But just keep in mind that astrophysics, you know, every time NASA sends something out there, we're always learning that things are not what we thought they were, physics. This could be one of those things. You know, it could be that certain binary systems work where you have the external larger sun and then have a smaller one inside a planet. I can't explain it. All I can tell you is what I was told.
Well, somebody's playing with our phone lines again, and, you know, as I said, just a demonstration of their excessive disregard for the Constitution.
Well, that actually might be on my end because I have a call waiting beep coming in, which I'm ignoring.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, then at least we know that someone is not disregarding our constitutional rights, and that's an important thing.
You know, Kevin, I want to throw in a couple of things one thing on what we were just saying. I understand how ludicrous that may sound to many people when I talk about the, you know, physical makeup of our planet being hollow. But I want to tell you, if you go back and look at what NASA originally revealed about the moon, they initially let the cat out of the bag that they believed the moon was hollow with the first landers that they hit on the moon. And then they quit talking about that and will not talk about it again, in fact, to the point of denial. Now, we've got pictures of Mars with the giant holes that you and I have talked about that clearly show that it's very deep and the potential for vast hollow spaces, if not a hollow planet up there. So more and more as time goes on, there is greater evidence. There's a lot of historical evidence, but there's greater physical scientific evidence that our Earth may indeed be somewhat hollow. Before, I know that I'm on other shows sometimes and people say, boy, I really love listening to Walter till he starts talking about that hollow Earth stuff, and that's crazy. Well, folks, you know, consider that maybe it's not so crazy if, you know, you see some of the other stuff I've said to be somewhat valid.
Well, do you know Dr. Brooks Agnew?
Yes.
Dr. Agnew, for those of you who don't know, is a physicist and an inventor and also a radio host. And Dr. Agnew, appearing on this show, said that the laws of the physics of a spinning sphere demand that it's hollow.
Yes, absolutely. There you go.
And he said that he thinks that every planet is hollow.
It probably is. In fact, what might make our planet unique and why we get visited by extraterrestrial civilizations is the fact that we are in our phase where we're living on our habitable surface. My understanding is that the Martians, when Mars became uninhabitable on the surface, that's where they're at right now. Okay? Human beings, just like us, but born and living on Mars, living inside Mars. It could be that way on various moons. Some people say our moon is that way. You've heard me talk about the evidence that our own planet, there's people living inside of it. We've done, you know, other talks and shows on that. But, absolutely. It's my thing is, if you take a look at all this yourself, you will see what we're talking about here. You will see the same data, the same evidence. On a socio-political level, though, if you're looking for, well, gosh, you know, if this is happening, our government's going to know it, our government's hiding it, what are they doing that would be indicators? Well, one of the things I pointed out is, look what's built in the Denver, you know, area by the U.S. government, the facilities and such, but also think about it in terms like this. This superhighway that's being built through the middle of the continent, okay? If you're going to have both your coasts greatly wiped out by a cataclysm, you're going to still want some type of throughway, okay? Maybe that's part of the reason they're building what they're building, where they're building it, because they know that a lot of the rest of the interstate infrastructure, the throughways, are going to be destroyed. Also, you know, there's been talk about the Amero, the new currency, and the bringing together of Canada, United States, and Mexico. Maybe one of the reasons that they're ignoring the illegal immigrant and the border issue is because maybe they know that in a few years, let them come through the borders because most of them are going to die anyway.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a possibility, I suppose. But, I mean, I really think there are probably other reasons other than let them come, they're going to die.
Yes. And I would agree with you that there are other reasons, but you never know that maybe part of it, part of that vision that they have, and I'm not saying I agree with it. I am not saying I agree with it or excuse it at all. I don't excuse it, but maybe that's part of why the attitude is they don't care what people like you and I think, Kevin, and many of your listeners.
I think that's abundantly clear. I mean, if Washington, and I don't want to get into politics. Now, look, folks.
Right.
Politics works like this, folks. If I talk Democrat, I talk Republican, and I talk their various policies and which one is best, and that's politics. I'm talking about issues. If Washington cared what you and I think, they would have already all resigned and gone home so we could elect some people with good sense and honesty.
Yeah. True.
If they cared, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in tonight. Now, that's not to say that there are none. There are some who are diligent, have integrity, and they care. But as a group, you and I are pawns on the board for them.
And what I meant by what I was saying was they know a catastrophe's coming, and the attitude is, well, you know what? In the rebuilding, screw the sovereignty of the nations, screw what the independent people, you know, think. We're going to need to rebuild civilization, and this is our plan to do it after this catastrophe that most people don't know or don't believe is coming. And that's my point for bringing that up, that maybe geophysically all that will be left is an area, and everybody will be all, you know, there will be, you know, no borders to enforce for a while. That, and that's what I meant.
Mm-hmm.
This, and I do believe it's nefarious. This nefarious plan, might be somewhat affected or influenced by this disaster we're talking about.
Walter, we've got 30 seconds till you have to go, and I want to thank you for being with us this evening.
Oh, hey, thank you for having me on, and I do want to say that for those who want to read a little bit more about the ley lines and geomorphology of the land and the, you know, when Kevin mentioned earlier about the Mississippi River actually being a fault line and how water flows through the fault lines, I recommend you read the new book by Sechery called The Handprint of Atlas, which will be available by the time you're done listening to the show. If we're making it available at lulu.com.
All right, Walter, I hate to do it. I have to cut you off. The break's taking over, man.
No problem. See you all next time, Kevin.
Thanks for being with us. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this, and we'll open up the telephone lines for you. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I appreciate Walter Bosley for taking the time to be with us this evening. He took time away from a family Christmas party, actually, and was with us, and I'm glad he was. I appreciate him for being here. And I want now to find out what you think about all this stuff. You know, I'm still kind of the opinion that we're not going to, you know, be involved in just a whole heck of a lot of calamity because of the fact that, you know, we had Y2K and so forth. Maybe my head's in the sand on that. But, obviously, Walter believes that it's very real. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, I get it. Good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Yeah, a little nerve-wracking tonight.
Yeah?
I was wondering, is there any evidence that you guys have that this wouldn't be a gradual change, that that all of a sudden we would, jump 40, 50 feet, you know, in a matter of seconds?
No one living on this planet has ever been through that before. We don't know what's going to happen.
You know, because I was going to say, I mean, I don't care where you're at. You know, if this planet jumps, you know, 50, you know, feet or miles or whatever it's going to be, you know, at, you know, a tremendous speed, I mean, everybody's going to be throwing against something, you know, and there's going to be very few that's going to be lucky enough to make it.
I don't know. I'm really not sure about that because, I mean, look, half of the time you're standing on top of the Earth and half of the time you're standing underneath it. As it rotates, it's tilted. And so there's part of the time when you're around on the top of it and part of the time when you're around underneath it. And we don't fall off and we don't feel ourselves going downhill and underneath the curve of the planet. So I'm not really sure that there would be any great sensation for us. I think there could be earthquakes and volcanoes, and that would be a big enough sensation.
Yeah. I've been doing some research on this because of what's all showing up, you know, and I was brought back to the idea that they said the little ant people and whoever took some small civilizations underground to live through this calamity that was whatever happened at the time. Now, where they can take 6 billion people, you know, is another thing in a far stretch of the imagination. I do truly understand that all planets are hollow from the way they've been made, from what I've been researching. I just wonder, if they know this is coming, and if they would do anything to help us.
I don't know what they could do. I don't know where you can go to be safe. If it's truly going to be a planet buster kind of calamity, some places are going to make it and some won't. But look, I don't understand why two things. I don't understand why anyone in the government would be nervous about people hearing this, and I don't know that they are. Maybe they're not. But I don't know why they would be. Because, all of this is stuff that actually very, very similar stuff is written in the book of Revelation in the Bible, and it's been around for centuries. So it's not like this is new. So I don't know why they would be nervous about it. I don't know why anybody would panic about it. Because, if I lived at the base of a mountain and I knew that there was an avalanche risk, then I would move away from there. However, if I knew that there's an avalanche risk there and an earthquake risk wherever I'm going, and I go somewhere else and there's a volcano risk and somewhere else and there's a tidal wave tsunami risk and there's no place to go, well, okay, you may as well, just relax and see what happens. You follow what I'm saying? I don't think there's really going to be, we don't know where we can go, and I don't think there's any use in getting all worked up about it and being worried about it.
I think that's probably what the government's thinking. Might as well let them, be happy while they can be. And plus, if they did tell us, we would probably demand them to accommodate us and do something about it, which, they probably figure they can't do anything. So, why say anything?
Yeah, and we're foolish that way. We demand that our government do things that it's impossible for a government to do, any government. All right, Terry, thanks for the call, man.
Yep, take care, Rob.
All right. And the telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580. What do you think about all this? Now, we've been talking about the possibility of a pole shift. Maybe it will happen, maybe not. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. That was me. You had me on hold and you lost me when you came on saying you were back on air. How you doing?
I'm sorry.
It's Doug in Canada.
Doug, how are you doing?
Not bad. Hey, listen, you opened up a whole can of worms when you come on air. You
missed. Good. That's what I'm supposed to do.
We love you. We love you. We love you. Mr. Walter Bosley, thank you so much for being on here tonight. With the global shifting here, everyone says, we're only going to talk about global shifting, and then it all of a sudden goes right into the whole ball of wax here surrounding 2012. Kevin, I want to backdate a little bit here. Last night you said that there's a huge percentage of the people that listen to this show here kind of fear 2012, saying it's the end all, correct?
Yeah, not just people that listen to the show, but really all out over the internet. You go in all these news groups and forums and stuff, and you see a whole lot of that fear.
Yeah, it's all over the place. Where are you sitting on this? I know where I sit on this.
Well, I'll tell you. You're talking about 2012?
Well, yeah, if you want to subscribe to that, yeah. All right. Don't believe it's the end all.
Here's where I sit on this, and I freely admit up front I may be dead wrong on this, and my position on it may prove to be foolish, but here's my position on this. December the 21st, 2012, I plan to be in Bangkok, Thailand.
Yeah, you said that.
I plan to be hosting a party and broadcasting live to see the next day in. And I think December 22nd, 2012, the sun's going to come up, and I'm going Christmas shopping. Yep. If I'm wrong, then I get exactly the same thing everybody else gets on this planet.
Absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, there's a lot of people that transcribe to this possibility of a binary twin system. And you know what? I do. You know, I truly do believe we have we're no different than the rest of the star systems out there in the galaxy. We mm-hmm. have to have a binary twin star here. Come on, people, wake up. But is it going to destroy us? Who knows? But, hey, I want to ask Mr. Bosley a question here if I can.
Well, he's no longer with us.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, he could only be with us for that first hour. He took actually an hour. There's a family Christmas party going on at his house, and he sneaked off into another room and took an hour away from the family Christmas party to be with us.
Oh, well, that was so nice of him actually to do that. Because
yeah.
Actually, he did give us a lot of information here that isn't really touched upon by a lot of people. And, hey, when you dropped there, when you got slammed.
Yeah.
When they cut your phones off there, I thought for sure, yeah, you got nailed just like they did on Coast one time.
Well, yeah, and that's not the first time.
No.
But, you know, and look, I'm going to tell you something. I consider those people that do that to be rogues.
Mm-hmm.
They are definitely not pro-American and pro-Constitution.
That's right. Everybody should be able to have some freedom of speech going on here and without, you know, being slammed. You know what, Kevin? Whatever's going to happen, my recommendation to anybody at this time and present is to buy actual physical gold. It doesn't matter what the price is now. Just buy it. Because the paper currency isn't worth anything. You can go ahead and put that on the roll in the bathroom because when the economy collapsed, that's exactly what it's worth. It used to be redeemable for gold. Remember that?
Yeah, and then when I was a kid, you had silver certificates.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they pulled all those in and said, those are no good anymore. We're not going to give you silver either.
Yeah.
And one other thing. Those used to say United States note. Today they say Federal Reserve note.
That's right. You know, it's called legal toilet paper. I mean, tender.
Yeah, yeah. Doug, thanks for the call, man. I got to move on.
Okay, bye.
All right, thanks. All right, folks, 602-539-9580 is the telephone number, and the line is open, 602-539-9580. I don't know what all of this so-called evidence that we've talked about, I don't know what it really points to, other than something's up. I think it's safe to say that. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Trey in Louisiana.
Hi, Trey.
Hey, Kevin. Yeah, great, great guest. I love it when Walter's on here. I think probably it's probably going to be Yellowstone or. Or like you said, the Mississippi River, or something like that. But you know, who knows when it's going to happen? You know, there's nothing we can do. Now, what about the fact that there's possibly that this planet was created scientifically, and that maybe whoever created this planet knew the cycle of a planet and knew that every 12,500 years or whatever it is for whatever planet. That you're not going to be able to live on the surface, so you need to make this planet to where life could go inside the planet. And, well, if you're going to do that, you're going to need some kind of a light or heat source inside that planet. And so you would think if this planet was created, you know, if they knew that, you know, eventually you'd have to go off the surface, they would almost for sure think of some way to sustain the life unless they just wanted all of it to die off, you know. Every time, so what do you think?
Well, I mean, I don't know. There's that's a lot of, I mean, a lot of what if. If there is someone that created this planet, the fact that it's created means they knew basic physics, and So, yeah, you know, if you think about a sphere, think about being on the inside of a ball, and this ball is spinning. Where would things on the inside of that ball move to? They would move to the outside, in other words, toward the surface. It's just like at the you go to the state fair, and at the state fair, they oftentimes have a ride where you get in it. It's a round metal circle, and you stand against the wall, and the thing begins to turn, and it just goes in a circle. And then finally, it gets to going fast enough that it pins everyone against the wall. Right? You ever seen that?
Oh, yeah, I remember that vividly. It was called the Gravitron.
That's it. And the floor then drops, and you're still stuck to the wall.
Yeah, and your space is being pulled backwards and so forth. So.
Well, that's just like being on the inside of a spinning sphere. On the inside of the Earth, that's what has to be going on.
Well, you know, and if there is a sun, it could be smaller, or it could be an energy source like a sun. It could be artificial, so therefore, you know exactly how much you're going to get out of it, and, you know, who knows if there is, but, you know, the Native Americans, American Indians, whatever you want to call them, talk about beings coming, you know, living down in those tunnels, lizard men and other things, and so... there's a very good chance that life, you know, is inside of our planet, and you know, maybe one day some of us will be there too, you know.
Maybe. But, Trey, I appreciate the call. All right, folks. Interesting night, huh? Interesting topics. Like I was saying, and the telephone line is open, and the telephone number is on your screen, or if you're on radio, it's 602-539-9580. 602-539-9580. One of the things that I want to keep repeating is that, and it's important for me to repeat this, is that I've presented some very interesting news stories. These are news stories, folks, and I've presented some very interesting news stories. But there is, all we can say about these news stories is that these things are happening. Now, we don't know if these things fit together into the picture that Walter has told us about tonight. They seem to, but we don't know that for sure. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don calling from Phoenix.
Hi, Don.
How you doing tonight?
Outstanding.
Yeah, I have agreed that there's something going on. You know, there's too many of the pieces of the puzzle coming together and starting to form some kind of... We're seeing a lot of things, different things, like these underground bases. They have all over the world. They're building these secret underground bases. What the remote viewers have been saying for many years now... weather changes, these alien agenda as far as like hybrids, what are they going to do with these? You know, are these hybrids going to be used to repopulate the earth or what? You know, they're just, you know, you can form some kind of picture. Maybe it's not real clear yet, but you know that there is some kind of picture there and there's something going on.
It would seem, I mean, it kind of works like this. I never saw the Earth when all the continents were joined together, but I can look at all the continents as they are now and see how they fit.
Right.
And in that same way, looking at all these things that are being reported in the news, they look like they fit. And maybe they do.
Yeah. You know, I every time I think about any of this, I think about that... Area 51 caller, that's famous Art Bell show where the guy called in. It's called the Frantic Caller.
Yeah,
remember that show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that guy sounds very real. Yeah, I'm very I'm very cautious in who I believe in stuff, but that guy sounds so real. And I don't believe that the government is not just telling us because they figure, well, maybe they just can't do anything. I think if they're not telling us, they figure, well, they only can save so many, and they're out to save their own butts. I mean, if they're building all these underground bases and cities or whatever, it's for the elite of the world. It's not for the average Joe, you and I, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Don, I want to thank you for the call, man. Interesting stuff.
Okay. Take care, Kevin.
Thank you. All right, I want to get to, let's see how much time do I've got. I got time to get at least one of our flash messages, and we'll open the phone lines back up after that. This is from Anthony in the Netherlands, and he said, in response to what Walter was saying, he said, exactly, that's what's happening. What he said. Now, the point about the whole enchilada is that if neither you or your bloodline makes it on the other side, you won't be able to extend it also. I'm not sure I understand that. But he says, meaning only the bloodlines that arrive sound and well will be able to reproduce and create the world thereafter. And, hey, that's very strange what's happening with your telephone system. It looks like it happened on purpose. Well, yeah, I would say so. Stephen from the United Kingdom says, on my way home in a hurry to catch this show live, I noticed two planes in the night sky. It's almost 3:30 a.m. here. Both were about the same altitude, flying in the same direction, but only one leaving a fat white line across the sky. Why is only one making a trail? This trail is not dissipating either. I tried to catch a photo, but my phone was out of battery. What are they doing to our skies? I want to know. Don't you? Does this have anything to do with our diminishing ionosphere? Much love and respect, and a huge Merry Christmas. Stephen in London. You know, Stephen, I don't know if it has anything to do with our diminishing ionosphere, but certainly that's a possibility. Certainly it could be. Something is up. Something's going on, and it's going on with increasing frequency and intensity. I think we need to pay attention. Not that there's anything we can actually do about it, but we need to not be caught unaware, asleep, and with our head in the sand. We need to at least give ourselves the opportunity to survive by being alert and awake, and perhaps alive. We're going to open up the telephone lines when we come back from break. And right now they're closed down because I wanted to get to those flash messages. If you live outside of the United States, you live outside of Canada, you can call our number. It will work. But, of course, you have to pay international long-distance rates. But I'll be glad to take your call from anywhere in the world, 602-539-8580. But if you're outside the United States, you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message, and all you do is just go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, click the link, and scroll down. You'll see where it says flash message, and you can send me a flash message from right there, okay? Now, the reason that we have the flash messages, as I said, is so that folks can participate who are not where that is sort of a local call. Jeff down in Australia, Tasmania, says, have been thinking about the cycle of the sun is in. Most of the organisms seen under the microscope live in a condition of pulsation. Is it possible that the sun and the solar system are living in a system that is in preparation for its next high pulse? That restriction of energy from the sun would make the Earth's field shallower, as it would not be receiving the normal energy. Could be. Good thought. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back from this break, we'll open the phone lines. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is the Kevin Smith Show. I'm Kevin Smith, your host. And let's go straight to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, my name is Mark from Brooklyn.
Hi, Mark.
Okay. I don't get to listen to your show as often as I would like. And I was just very curious to know, are you familiar with the name Alex Collier?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Have you ever had him on your show?
No.
No, okay. Okay, because I've been checking him out on YouTube. He has a few things on YouTube, and I was wondering if you have ever had the opportunity to check him out for yourself. Have you?
No, the deal with Alex Collier, as I understand, is he sort of was kind of decided to be out of the picture for a while. And has recently stepped back into the picture in terms of being available for talk shows and so forth, but for quite some time has been out of circulation. So,
right. Well, I was very curious to know if you felt like sharing. What is your take on him?
Well, you know, pardon me for one second. I hate to be rude, but I had to get a sip of coffee. My throat is so dry. My take on Alex Collier is pretty much my take on just about everyone that comes on the show, and that is I neither believe nor disbelieve. I listen, and I ask questions. And I'm the wrong guy to ask that question because I just don't actively believe or feel the need to much of anything. Most of the things that people believe are things that can't be proven. That's why you believe. If you could know, you would know. But since we don't know, a lot of people fill in that blank with, I believe. That works for some people. That doesn't work for me. And so, do I believe or disbelieve? I listen, and I ask questions, and little by little, what I know grows, but I don't fill in the blanks with, I believe.
And if time would allow, I just have one more quick question mm-hmm. that I think you do a pretty good job of answering. It's a question I always had in my mind. I never got a chance to ask. We all know that the government, they suppress things and they hide things. And often many, like UFO researchers will get a hold of documents that may be evidence of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I always wondered, if I was a member of the government or anything, and I wanted to hide something, I wouldn't document it. Why does the government document things and put things on paper that they want to hide? I would imagine that if they didn't want anybody to know anything, don't put it on paper where somebody would eventually discover it. You just keep it word of mouth or whatever.
Well, I would suspect that there is quite a body of information that is kept word of mouth. But anytime there's going to be an expenditure of money, there will be a paper trail. And if you're going to transport, let's say there's been a recovery of a downed UFO. It crashed, and they go out and recover it. The expenditure for the fuel to go out there, the expenditure for transporting it to wherever they're going to transport it, Wright-Patterson, just hypothetically, those expenditures will happen, and they have to be accounted for. And because we have, there are accountants that audit the government. They work for the government, and they audit the government. And so all of that has to be accounted for. and there's a paper trail. But it won't say expenditure for recovery of crashed UFO. It'll have something else on it. And a lot of times then what happens is a whole bunch of documents related to that get generated, and none of those things say UFO, but all of those things point to being connected to the same event. And then you maybe find one memo somewhere that mentions the recovery operation or something like that. And it can be tied to the same date and time. And then all of a sudden you've got a chain of paperwork that all hangs together.
Right. Okay. Okay. That's I understand that. That's pretty clear.
Yeah, they have to. You know, they have to account for their expenditures. But one thing about it, they don't call it what it is when they account for them. You know, it takes some digging and investigating, and putting it all together. And there are people that do that. There are people that that's their life's mission is to dig all that stuff out and put it together. I am not that patient.
Okay. All right. That's understood. I got the picture, definitely.
All right. Thanks for the call, Mark.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Telephone number is 602-539-9580, 602-539-9580. You know, we talked about some pretty heavy stuff here tonight. Some stuff that for some people is disturbing. It's frightening for them. I don't want you to be frightened. I don't want you to panic. There is no reason to panic. Look, I'm in the Phoenix, Arizona area. I live in an area that if the Yellowstone super volcano were to decide to explode, I would likely be wiped out. I don't know where I can go where things would be any better, because every place I can think of has some problem with it. Every place I can think of has a possible disaster that can happen there. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. This is Kevin from Northern Alberta calling tonight.
How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing quite well, thank you. Great show.
Thank you.
Okay. One thing I'd like to mention is this was suggested to me years ago by a person. He said, live every day like it's your last, because one of these days you're going to be right.
Oh, that's good. That is excellent. Absolutely excellent. Let me ask you something. Are you watching the show on video tonight, or are you just listening?
No, I'm watching it on video.
Is the video better tonight?
It's pretty good. Mind you, it's been good for the last quite a few nights here.
Is the audio synced up with the video pretty good, or is it off quite a bit?
It's probably 2 seconds behind.
Ah, that's significant. Yeah, well, we'll work on that. See what we can do about that.
Yeah, it's like getting a fine-tuned machine running, I guess, with all those computers you got hopping there.
Yeah, well, all the programs, it takes four programs running to do the video. So, and that's one computer, and then we have the radio station on the other computer. Hey, man, I appreciate the call.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. And the telephone number is 602-539-9580. Let me say this, just because of some of the nonsense that has gone on over the past couple of years, and some of it as late as a couple of nights ago, if your telephone is, if you have it blocked where it doesn't do caller ID, what normally comes up is it says anonymous. Even though I can trace that, if it says anonymous and it doesn't give us the telephone number, we won't answer the call, because of the nonsense that went on. I just don't want to have to get into having to tell people they're idiots, you know, and that happened the other night. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling? Well, let's try it again. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ken calling from the Washington, D.C. area. How are you tonight?
Outstanding, Ken.
Wait, just to let you know, you're perfect lip sync, no lag or anything.
Oh, is that right? I wonder if that's I wonder why Kevin over in Canada was about 2 seconds off.
Oh, probably just more network latency, something as simple as that, I would imagine. No, but this is the best I've seen it so far.
Outstanding. So, have you ever called in before, Ken?
No, this is the first time.
Well, you know what? First-time callers have to get some applause, so let's get that going for you here. Oops. And some feedback, apparently. Okay, Ken, you were saying something about the show tonight. Did it scare you?
Yeah. Not at all, actually. And I just wanted to pull out Occam's razor out of my pocket a little bit here.
All right.
Simplify things a little bit. I think your guest is great. It was entertaining. But, you know, he's an expert at connecting the dots, and we're all good at connecting dots.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, you know, that doesn't mean that there's truth out of that. So I just wanted to share an experience I had a couple of years ago.
All right.
In the D.C. area. I met a retired security agent from, I guess he was from the Atomic Energy Commission back in the 50s and the early 60s, and also at Area 51. And he's no longer around, but one thing he did tell me, because I mentioned the global warming word, and he almost jumped on me when I said that. He said, that's nonsense. And I said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, you probably won't hear this too many places, but one of the reasons we stopped all ground and underground testing, especially after we detonated some of those larger thermonuclear devices, is that we did something to the axis of our planet. Something you probably haven't heard about, but so many of the problems we've had and some of the, I guess, differential between the north and the south, where one side of the planet, part of the planet can be warm and the other cold, and it makes no sense, has to do a lot with the axis. So he said there's a lot of disinformation also being put out by those who don't want you to know about this, so they'll talk about all these other types of theories out there floating around. But, you know, and again, I have no way of validating this or not, but he didn't make it sound like it's the end of the world. It's just a problem, and, you know, that would account for some of these underground anomalies you're seeing on your map, perhaps adjustments to try to correct for this if there's any truth to this. So, you know, I just wanted to share that and just show that there's always other possibilities out there.
All right. Now, I don't want you to get away before I ask this, and can you hang on through the break? I want you to hang on through the break because you just said something that really made my eyebrows raise. We'll be back right after this, folks. Don't go away. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on final approach. We have Ken from the Washington, D.C. area with us. And Ken, you said that you were told by someone several years ago that we had disturbed the Earth's axis with our underground nuclear testing, right?
That's what I was told.
Okay. Now, you then said something that made me raise my eyebrows, and I got to ask you about it. You said, so maybe some of these underground anomalies that I've been talking about have something to do with trying to correct it. Are you talking about those 9 or 10 seismic events up at the magnetic North Pole?
Exactly. If they're underground nuclear events or some other type of high energy explosion, it would perhaps make sense then, because they seem, you know, there's a correlation there. And I'm not saying I know that, but it would seem to make sense to me, assuming that what that other person said, if there's any truth to it or if it's true, I would imagine we try one way or another to offset that, maybe over time. Perhaps even with the Russians, because, you know, they agreed to stop the testing as well. And were, as we all know, responsible for detonating some of the larger explosions of that time.
Are you looking at are you looking at your computer right now?
Yes.
Okay. I have put back up on the screen the list of the 9 Arctic events that I noticed, and then someone wrote to me and said, hey, there was a 10th one. But here's the 9 that I noticed. And look at the magnitudes. They're all at 10 kilometers deep. And you have 5.7, 4.7, 5.1, 4.7. So you have high, low, high, low, high, low, all the way to the bottom. Does that suggest anything?
Well, there's definitely a pattern there. And, you know, then it makes me want, you know, I haven't seen anything that regular. I don't think you can find that type of regularity with your typical seismic activity. So it seems to me that it's somehow organized. That doesn't mean necessarily they're detonating atomic bombs for the reason I said, but I agree. I mean, there's definitely too much order there.
Yeah, it's
almost
just
like a syncopation. It's almost mm-hmm. like a rhythm to it, which is very interesting. It's as if they are almost programming it.
Well, and I was talking with someone earlier today who said that looks like a wave pattern.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. And, you know, I want to make it clear for everyone. I want everyone to understand. I'm just looking at all of this and saying, man, this is weird. There's just way too much pattern in this for it to not be organized in some way. I don't know what it all means, but I think it means something. I think it's significant.
Well, I think you're spot on there. I think there is too much pattern, and I think there's something to it. Now, that doesn't, again, we don't know why there's pattern to it. I don't think currents. That's my gut feeling on this. That doesn't mean that, again, it's a correction for something that we did, we screwed up, or it's something having to do with what your guest discussed earlier tonight. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I agree. There's something there. But I was meaning to bring this up before, and it's something that really bothers me. And maybe perhaps you thought about it. It has to do with our inability to have our launch NASA to have our launch vehicles ready by what is it supposed to be 2015 now?
The next one, which launch vehicles? Because the next Mars mission has been scooted from 2009 to 2011. And then I think the manned mission, the first in the series of missions that will take us back to the moon, I think that is 2015.
How about the actual shuttle replacement? What I mean is, so we're not dependent on the Russians or the Chinese
to
launch?
Yeah.
And that's what bothers me, because if you think about it, you know, the Russians are not our allies. I mean, and this is, I'm not trying to say this to be anti-Russian or anti-Chinese. That's not the point. The point is they have nukes aimed at us. We have nukes aimed at them. Everyone knows it. Now, and it comes down to how you'd also define treason. Why would we, you know, be dependent on the Russians or the Chinese to have access to, quote, the high ground, if you're thinking in the context of battle language? It just doesn't make any sense to me how anyone in the military or the government would allow ourselves to get into that predicament. To me, it sounds almost treasonous. Is there something wrong with that logic? I mean, if that is our high ground, and I'm in the satellite industry, and I'm familiar with the technology, and I understand how important it is. Why would we want to be dependent on the Russians or the Chinese or any other country, for that matter, to access the high ground?
You live in Washington. You live in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And you see I would think, a great deal more of the inner workings of our government. I mean, you see these people around town, you see what they're doing and so forth, than the rest of us see. I'll tell you something. The word treason and Washington, D.C. have gone together hand in hand on many occasions, in my opinion. Legal experts tell me that's not the case. But I have seen, and the whole country has seen, time and time and time again, people that we elect do things that on the very face of it are harmful to this country, and yet they do it and justify it.
Now, I agree with you, but there's also, in addition to treason, there's just, as you say all the time, a tremendous amount of stupidity out there, especially in Washington. But so many of these people, and I work with them, are so patriotic, and the last
thing
we would want to do is to, you know, put our well-being and to be, you know, in the hands of any other country, and to be dependent on. And that's what doesn't make any sense, because I think the people mean well. So in my mind, there's a real contradiction here. How could they allow where, for the next number of years, a few years, we're going to be dependent on these other countries? And see, there's the logic's not there. Unless there's, again, something we're not aware of. I guess that's where I'm going here, because to me that would be the number one thing you wouldn't want to do. And the fact that it's not even discussed on the news, you know, and the fact that I don't hear this on any of the shows, it, to me it's just outrageous, because...
How long have you been listening to my show?
Oh, on and off for over a year now.
Well, you've probably then heard me say the silence is screaming. And you're exactly right. You don't hear about these things on the news. They're not going to report them. They simply are not going to present to us the facts. They're going to present to us their spin. And anything that interferes with their particular worldview, they're not going to present it on mass media. I've written them off just like I have most of politics. I've written mass media off like this. If you take what they say, divide it by anywhere from 10 to 100, you might be down near a kernel of truth.
Well, yeah, maybe near where those nukes are going off underground, somewhere down there probably.
Could be, but... to find out what's going on in this country, you have to get news from outside the country.
You do, and, you know, again, try to connect the dots, but, you know, keep the razor in the left hand at the same time so you don't take yourself too seriously, because it's so easy to think you've got things figured out. And it's, as you say all the time, it's just a belief at that point, so you have to be careful.
Absolutely.
Really do.
Absolutely. Hey, man, I appreciate the call.
Well, thank you very much, and keep up the great show. And again, your perfect lip sync here.
Outstanding. Thank you much.
Take care, Kevin.
Bye. All right. Well, that timed out just right, didn't it? My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, so long, everybody.